You are listening to a podcast from Camden Community Radio.
www.ccradio.org.
This is Lucky with Camden Community Radio. I'm joined in the studio today with Jim Walsh, CEO of Conway Hall Ethical Society. Jim is here to talk about the history of the new documentary on Conway Hall. Jim, welcome to Camden Radio.
Thank you.
So can you tell us a bit about the history of Conway Hall and how did it start?
It's a long history. We've been going for over 200 years. Conway Hall was built in 1929. By the society in Red Lion Square. But before that, we used to be at South Place, which is in Finsbury Circus, and we had a chapel there for nearly 100 years. We then changed it to an institute, and then we became a humanist organisation, humanist being an organisation that doesn't believe in an afterlife or God, but believes in treating people and in this life that we have now, in a good way, in a good ethical way, and being interested in culture, being interested in science. And so in 1929, we moved everything over to the Conway Hall that we have now to this day.
That's brilliant. So who comes and uses Conway Hall nowadays?
A very wide variety of people. We have probably 100,000 people a year who will come in, and we'll have 2,500 events a year as well, which could be four people in a meeting room. It could be 400 people. We have salsa lessons that take place on a Thursday. We have tango on a Friday. We have the blood bank come in. We have exams. We ourselves do lots of programming as well. So we have concerts. We have talks, debates. Exhibitions, theatre performance.
Yeah.
And jewel in our crown, in some respect, is our library and archives.
Yeah, that's interesting, yeah. So what kind of challenges do you face as the last remaining ethical society in the UK?
I think one of the challenges is communication, because you know, being an ethical society in the last remaining one doesn't necessarily make sense in the modern age, although it's something that I am very passionate about in terms of ethics and how we treat each other. It's something that in the United States they have a lot more ethical societies or ethical and culture societies. For us, though, what I think we can really sort of look towards is our free thought pedigree as well, where we're the oldest institution for free thought in the whole world. And so people can come to us and they can discuss any issues that they want. And so sometimes we have quite controversial ideas and events that take place.
Yeah.
And our pedigree is one where we like to think that the radical ideas that change society are born at Conway Hall.
Yeah. And what kind of people have been and spoken at Conway Hall Society in the past?
So if we go back, as you say, back into the past, even in the Second World War, there were talks about, in 1943, about having a National Health Service. And so the trade unions at the time were kind of all gathered together to say, you know, we need to campaign for a National Health Service. And that took place at Conway Hall. We also had in the 1950s the campaign for the abolition of capital punishment. So what is now, we like to think of ourselves as being a civilised society. You know, it's, that campaign did start at Conway Hall. We also had talks in regard to anti-apartheid in the 50s as well.
Yeah.
So there's lots of campaigns that have come through Conway Hall, because it's always seen as a place where if you have an idea that you want to change society and you want to gather people to kind of get a bit of momentum, then Conway Hall is a sort of natural place for that to happen. But we've had many different individual speakers as well. So Jacob Bronowski, the Ascent of Man in the 70s, he gave a talk for our Conway Memorial Lecture. We also had his daughter, Lisa Jardine, who sadly passed away last year. She gave Conway Memorial Lecture. But Jonathan Miller in 1973 spoke about the uses of pain, controversial and sort of difficult subject. But there's been many different calibre of people. We've musicians, artists. Yoko Ono did a performance there back in the 70s as well. Even Tony Benn used to have Stop the War right up until he sadly passed away as well.
Yeah.
He was meeting with Stop the War campaign at Conway Hall.
Yeah, brilliant. So we've had a lot of influential people at the society. So with today's world is totally different with religion, much less than it has been. How does Conway Hall stand for remaining relevant?
Yeah, it's. I think today, even more than ever, people are starting to realise, you know, that they don't necessarily have to adopt what they're taught by their families or by their school or by their environment, and they want to find out things themselves. And I think that's double-edged, you know, in some respects. It's great, it can be difficult, but it means that a lot of people have an open and questioning mind as mm-hmm. to where they sit in terms of religion or whether they feel that they want to be the third generation Catholic or third generation whatever, you know, religion they might descend from,
yeah.
or whether they want to change and adopt a different perspective. And they will do the internet searches, they will join societies like ours, or they will join other societies that meet at Conway Hall,
mm-hmm.
And they can, you know, see for themselves, which is actually some of the, you know, what we at Conway Hall Ethical Society deeply believe in. We're an educational charity and we want people to have an open, questioning and rational mind that can approach different subjects like religion,
yeah.
and actually make up one's mind afterwards, or, you know, and see and hear people who talk about, you know, what they think about religion, you know, to their, you know, they can see what those people have to say and then make a judgment or a rational decision afterwards.
That's very true. So how would you want Conway Hall to fit into our modern society?
I want it to be a place that's used by the community, and that's used by the local communities and diverse communities. So I'm very pleased that we're trying to now, after a few years that I've been there, we're actually sort of reaching outwards and we're reaching to different communities, such as the LGBT, Camden LGBT Forum we're trying mm-hmm. to work with. Mind, the mental health charity yeah. we're going to be working with in the future, the local branch of Camden. We're also trying to do something, put on an event about the plight of, you know, homeless people. We've done the big issue Night Walk for a few years, and we're now also going to be working with Street Link and St Martin's in the Field Connection to put on a comedy event. But we have one that recently was Brook Charity, who talk about sexual health in particular for children. And they had a stand-up event, which had lots of comedians come in. And it was a fundraiser, but it was brilliant because you know that money that people are there to, you know, they're buying drink and they're also having their ticket and listening to stand-up, that's going towards actually a very good cause, which is, you know, educating children on what they should and shouldn't be doing as such.
Yeah, brilliant. So finally, let's talk a bit about this new documentary.
Definitely.
What do you know, and tell me a bit more about this.
Okay. We first found out that something wasn't quite right at Conway Hall back in 2015. We were looking to digitise our monthly journal called The Ethical Record.
Mm-hmm.
And The Ethical Record has been coming out since 1895 every month, and digitising it was a mammoth task for us. However, we were just flicking through randomly to see what was in it, and in 1904 we saw a phrase that said bust committee. The librarian Sophie Hawkey Edwards and I looked at that and thought, we don't know what that is.
Yeah.
From there, when we started to look at it, it was obvious that they were raising money, this bust committee, mm-hmm. from the members of the society to have a bronze replica or a bronze casting of a plaster bust of Moncure Conway's head, you know, as such. Moncure Conway being, he was the sort of, you know, in my position in some respects, but he was a much more eloquent and enigmatic, eloquent, you know, character and charming, and he could talk to many different audiences about many different things. But he was there in the Victorian time, so he came to the society in 1864, and he was stayed at the society pretty much on and off until 1907. So the society really benefited at that time under his stewardship, and so hence Conway Hall being something that they decided pretty much 20 years after he died to name after him. Mm-hmm. And also before he died, they had this bust commissioned.
Mm.
But seeing that bust committee and seeing that we didn't have a bust. We looked high and low in our archives as well for other material relating to the bust. And it seemed to be this absence. It was like, where have we got the bust that they paid for? A few months later, what we discovered was that a niche that was purpose-built into the foyer for the bust was actually for the bust. We had never, you know, we'd always just put a pot, you know, a vase of flowers there. We hadn't realised that it was actually meant to have his, you know, his bronze casting of his bust. So that's where that moment of that bust committee, realising we had a niche, realising we don't have a bust, started us on a journey. And then at that point, when we started on the journey, I kind of realised, after a little bit more research, this could be quite fun to document.
Yeah.
And we have a relationship with Trunkman Productions, with Trent Burton. We had a chat. I told him what I thought was the case and where I thought it might possibly lead. And I said, well, do you fancy going on a journey with us, a bit of an adventure? And he rolled up his sleeves and said, yeah, count me in. So we then started to work on the documentary, work on the research, and to sort of pull everything together in a way that started to make sense in a narrative form in order for the documentary to make sense. What we discovered en route was that there were two other busts in existence. And then that was fantastic for us because it meant there's these two other busts that we can investigate. And we worked out that ours was the third one. We only had a very old black and white picture of the third one that we used to own at our previous venue. But we had these other two busts, and we worked out where they were, and they were both in the United States. One was in Dickinson College in Pennsylvania, and the other was in private hands, I think in Connecticut. So it was, okay, we got these two other busts, we're missing our one. And then at a certain point, one of our trustees at the time said, well, why don't we get a 3D print made and put that 3D print in the niche, which I didn't know anything about 3D printing at the time, I confess. But it was that idea where actually we could do that. We could put it back in the niche as a 3D print because it will look like a bronze bust. And that would be fantastic because that would be technology saving heritage. We've lost our heritage in some respects and we can help put it back. And also Conway, we know from the kind of guy he was, would have greatly appreciated that because he was very interested in scientific and technological advancement in his day. So, yeah, there's many other facets to the story, you know, of what happens. But maybe that's not the nutshell version, but a slightly longer one.
So tell us what the documentary is called and where and when is this available?
OK, it's called The Empty Niche and it is available on YouTube. And if you go to the Conway Hall channel on YouTube, you'll be able to find it there. And we have a screening at Conway Hall where we're launching it this coming Friday on the 24th of February.
Brilliant. So what other events are happening currently at Conway Hall? So if anyone...
Yeah, well, we have our own courses at the moment, our workshops. We've got agitators and protesters with David Rosenberg. He's doing an eight-week course. We have thinking and language as well, which is a course run in terms of encouraging people how to think, you know, in a critical way and in a different way. We also have an exhibition by Melissa Bud Das, I have to try and pronounce that properly, which is a fantastic exhibition in our Brockway room.
Yeah.
And then there's theatre that we have, and we have our Sunday concerts. And the Sunday concerts at the moment are going from strength to strength under the musical direction of Simon Callahan. But, yeah, Sunday, 6:30, come along to listen to some chamber music, actually in a purpose-built venue, because the main hall of Conway Hall was particularly built for chamber music, so it's a perfect place to, you know, to see it or hear it.
Yeah, so there's literally something for everyone at Conway Hall, from cultural activities, from lectures, debates, and where should people go to book any events?
So if we go to our website, which is www.conwayhall.org.uk, from there you can go to the What's On, and look at any events that you want to book and have a look at, and then you can book there online.
And don't forget the documentary, which is available on YouTube, I think, on the 25th of February, which is called...
The Empty Niche.
This is a podcast from Camden Community Radio.
For more information and to volunteer,
email info@ccradio.org.